ओम अज्ञात वृंदस्य तस्मै श्री गुरवे श्री चैतन्य मनुभिष्टम् वयम रूपा कदा मयम धरति स्वपनादेहम वंदेहम श्री गुरु श्रीजुता परकमलम गुरु वैष्णवश्च श्रीरूपं साकुचित्तं सहगणानुपनीतं नितं संसजैवं सद्वैतं सारद्वितं श्रीराधाकृष्णपरं सहगणललितं हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धु विशाखोपकण्डरारकान्त नमोस्तुते सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वनोश्वे कृपश्च कृपसिन्धुभेव च पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द शिवसि गौरभक्तिवृन्दम् Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today is Ekadasi, so we are reading from the Srila Prabhupada Linamrita. This is describing June 1973, Mayapur. Throughout the month of June, Prabhupada continued to live happily and peacefully in the not yet completed building of the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. That means the Lotus Building, for those of you who are familiar. The Lotus Building is the first building in Mayapur. Although he had been ill with a cough since Los Angeles, a cough he had been unable to cure while traveling in the West, on coming to Mayapur, his health had recovered. This is quoted from Srila Prabhupada. In Mayapur, I am much improved from how I was in Los Angeles. The great advantage here is there is always open air and good breeze, which is naturally very good for breathing difficulties. Of course, 1973, there was not much problem with air pollution. Unfortunately, now increasing problem of air pollution in Mayapur. Too many fires, burning too much plastic. The villages have come jammed up, you know, with all the villages are burning things, plastic. It was different in 1973, you have to understand. The English word is pristine. Pristine means very quiet, very clean. The air was clean and the breezes very nice. And of course, still in Mayapur there are nice breezes. Prabhupada very much liked the way the wind blew through the buildings, although devotees are sometimes annoyed by the heavy winds, but Prabhupada liked it. The Lotus Building is purposely directed or set on the property so that the wind would blow through his apartment. Natural air conditioning. So he had purposely placed the building like that, you see. And of course the hooks are there for securing the windows. But otherwise Prabhupada very much liked those breezes blowing through. So he says, the great advantage here is that there's always open air and a good breeze, which is naturally very good for any breathing difficulties. Certainly Mayapur is by far a better place than Los Angeles. Of course, in Los Angeles there's severe air pollution much of the time, because you can enjoy the free air here. The climate is not too hot, but a little moist with humidity, but on the whole it is very pleasing. Our building is most super excellently situated, and it is the experience of many respectable outsiders that while the outer atmosphere is unbearably hot, in our building it is pleasing. Prabhupada praised the constant pleasurable breezes that pass through the building. He called them Vaikuntha breezes. Sometimes, however, a violent storm would suddenly appear. Although severe, these storms were also beautiful, with continuous lightning like neon lights filling the sky. One day a storm arose and the winds began to howl through the building. Noticing that Srila Prabhupada's doors and windows were open, Sadhudanya rushed into the room and began frantically closing them. But Prabhupada Siddhananda said, "Stop! Leave all the windows open." "But Prabhupada," Sadhudanya protested, "the storm is here." Prabhupada said, "Just leave them open." Prabhupada said, as the wind rushed through his room at more than 50 miles an hour. Prabhupada smiled. "There's no place in the world like this," he said. His saffron robes billowing. Billowing means like the sails on a ship, you know, blowing out from the wind. Srila Prabhupada stood on the roof of his Mayapur building looking over the birthplace of Chaitanya Babu, less than a mile away. Yogapit, in other words, there was not much obstruction in those days. So he could see Yogapit from his room. Actually, he said to Bhavananda Prabhu, "Their claim to be birthplace of Chaitanya Babu is not very important. Is Krishna famous for having been born in Mayapur? Oh no, in Mathura? No, he's famous for his activity. Similarly, Chaitanya Mabu is not famous for having been born in Mayapur. He is famous for his activities for Sankirtan preaching. This Mayapur Chandramandir is the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I want to play a place that is so attractive because of the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that everyone will come here." Well, this is 1973. I first went to Mayapur in 1974. And 1974 was one of the first years there was large numbers of devotees from around the world came to the Mayapur festival. We rented a 747, it was that giant plane with a bump on the roof. I don't believe that it's in service anymore. I think they took it out of service. But at that time it was the largest plane with a capacity about 400 or maybe even 500 people. So it was very ecstatic. I was from Los Angeles, but I had to fly to New York. The plane was out of New York. And it was headed for Calcutta. Of course, we couldn't fly direct into Mayapur. Though Prabhupada instructed devotees to build an airport in Mayapur. I think there is an airport in the master plan. It'll have to be a small airport. I mean, they're going to have giant airplanes flying in there. But it's part of Srila Prabhupada's master plan. So, of course, he anticipated the hundreds of thousands, up to millions of people coming to Mayapur. We see that the temple, the new temple, is not even completed and construction not even open to the public. Yet so many hundreds of thousands, up to millions, are already coming over the extended Gopurna festival. So, huge crowds. But in 1973, 1974, that was not conceivable, that so many people would come to Mayapur. ISKCON propaganda has been very successful because all the temples are marketing Mayapur. Jew temple is marketing Mayapur. Bangalore, Chennai, Delhi, everybody's marketing Mayapur, pushing it forward. So it worked, and now people are coming by the hundreds of thousands to Mayapur. Hari Bhav. Jeev Dago. Hari Bhav. So it was not conceivable. But I was present. It was 1974. Sometimes the dates are given wrong. that Achyutananda, then a sannyasi, led the Harinam Sankirtan party down Bhaktisiddhanta Road, heading towards Yogapit. And at that time, there were maybe 1,000 devotees at the most. But in those days, you have to understand that 1,000 devotees in one place was a lot. Now, 1,000 devotees is nothing anymore. But in 1973, 1974, 1,000 devotees was a lot. So it was about 1,000 devotees on Harinam Sankirtan party on Bhaktisiddhanta Road heading towards Yogapit. Achyutananda took what's called a bullhorn. It's the portable speaker with a trigger, you know. About one eighth of a meter in diameter, round speaker, has a trigger. You push on the trigger and it turns on. You understand? Yes? No? Maybe? Sometimes if you look bewildered, then. So the thing is that, so he took this, it's called a bullhorn. So he took this portable microphone and he shouted, "Now we will fulfill the prediction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur." Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day the Americans, the Russians, the Indians, and the Europeans will all come together in Sri Dhammayapur and chant, "Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana," chant. You can do better than that. Jai Sachinandana. All right, I know there's not 800 of you here, but try to put a little bit of gusto into it. Gusto means enthusiasm. Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. That's more like it. That level of enthusiasm was there. Not modern yellow boys. Jai Sachinandana. When do I get to sleep anyways? We're going to have any prasadam today. It wasn't like that. That's your invention. You know, the incredible enthusiasm. Maybe it was closer to 800 devotees or 900 maximum who were chanting, filling up the street, however. You know, it's a narrow road. Filling up the street. Say, now we will fulfill the prediction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we chanted, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. So it was a genuine historic time. Sometimes the date is given as later, but it was not later. That was there because it was the first time that so many foreign devotees had come in such large numbers. There had been my poor festival before, but in not such large numbers, you see. So, and in that plane, we filled the entire plane. Let's say it was 400 capacity in that one plane alone. They were all from the United States. Those days, the U.S. was big. You know, U.S. was the headquarters of the movement in those days, but now India is the headquarters. Haribol! That was weak. Don't you have any national pride? Come on. Haribol! India's the leader now of the ISKCON movement. Haribol! And of course, Russia is close. Transcendental competition between Russia means also the former Soviet Union, because there are so many thousands of devotees. At this point, there's probably 30,000-40,000 devotees in the former Soviet Union. Haribol! Years ago it was 15, but the number of devotees keep expanding like popcorn. You know, popcorn, you watch popcorn in a popcorn machine, pop, 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 and it's just expanding rapidly. So they're pious people, actually, pious people. And so they are very enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. So there were a few, not much Russians at that time, but there were Europeans, where the Russian was still under the iron fist of the communist government, so it wasn't very easy for them to... The devotees had to be undercover still in 1974, you know. But there were some Europeans, mostly Americans. And, you know, it's hard for you to imagine, but in those days, there were very, very few Indian devotees. In fact, there weren't that many Indian devotees. Handful only. You can't imagine it. You can't imagine. You can imagine India without, you know, hundreds of thousands of devotees that there are now. If you count all the fringes, huge number of devotees now. In the millions, actually, if you count all the fringes. Understand? You don't know what a fringe is? Fringe is somebody on the outskirts of the movement, not hardcore, but who come for Janmashtami, who come for Rath Yatra, who come for Sunday feast, you know, that kind of Prakriti Bhakta, materialistic devotee, the rest of their time they spend in their griha. That's called fringe, on the fringe. Fringe means the outside, you know. The primary residence is the external energy. Well, some of them, of course, are fixed in physical consciousness. Some of them, some of the grihastras come regularly, but they're in the minority, I'm sorry. Those, but some, there are some grihastras that come daily to the temple, sit down, chant japa with the devotees, very nice, but they are very much in the minority. Mostly everybody's so attached to their griha, they stay at home, you know. But there are many, of course, there are fixed up devotees also. So, it was a big deal for 800 devotees to be gathered together on Boxing of the Road and chanting holy name. When I first went there in 1974, so that's 1 year after this description here in the Leelamrita, 1 year later, the in 1974 the Lotus building was still not complete. For example, there was no railing on the stairs going up. No railing. It was just the steel bar sticking up out of cement. They had not completed the railing yet. It was all open fields. You've seen the photographs and the, what do you call, painting is there of Prabhupada walking in the fields with Bhavananda and some other disciples. So it was very much open land in those days. You know, it's not conceivable now. So this was very nice. While in Calcutta, before coming to Mayapur, Prabhupada had called several senior disciples into his room. "I've had many requests," he said to them, "to translate Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I'm going to translate the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that all right?" "Oh yes, Prabhupada," Bhavananda said, replied, "that's wonderful." So we're talking about 1973. He had not yet started the translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. By that time I was the president of a small temple in Midwestern United States. So then Prabhupada began the translating, and then the, what you call, transcripts were backing up. The devotees weren't getting printed. They weren't getting printed fast enough. Then what a large number of transcripts were backing up, then Srila Prabhupada became disturbed. "Why aren't you printing?" So they had fallen behind. At that time the devotees had ISKCON Press. They weren't very much sending books out for printing. The BBT was self-operating in those days, largely. Although the Krishna book was published by a large Japanese publishing house called Dai Nippon. Well, I don't remember the year that they first started publishing with Diamond Nippon, I don't remember, but ISKCON Press started in New York, and then they moved to Los Angeles. So it must have been 1973 then when Prabhupada started translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because here he's only saying, I want to do it. Now here you see the extraordinary relationship between Srila Prabhupada and his senior disciples. He has a plan. It's most generous. This is Vaishnava. This is Acharya. He has a plan. It's predestined. Yet, out of love and affection, he's asking his top disciples, so what do you think? Is it a good idea? You understand? Sweetness. Sweetness of loving exchange. Humility. So many good qualities we see here. And that was not an what you call isolated incident. It was frequent. The Prabhupada would show this, demonstrate this kind of humility in relationship to his leading disciples. What do you think? You know, so Bhavananda was very enthusiastic. Yes, Prabhupada, you should do this. So he was translating, and the transcripts were backed up, not published. Prabhupada was becoming irritated. Why aren't you keeping up with my translating? Of course, you're talking about 1973. You wouldn't imagine the you guys who are, you know, computer scientists, you know, IT professionals and all that. You can't imagine how primitive things, you wouldn't believe how primitive things were. Technology in those days was like dinosaurs. You know dinosaur? You don't know what a dinosaur is? Aliens don't know what dinosaur means? Those ancient reptiles, you know, you've seen it with long necks and all that, called a dinosaur. Very old-fashioned. A computer in those days was huge and very primitive. And there was not much computing. So the transcripts were hand-entered, hand-typed into a device that would do the typesetting, or they also did typesetting by hand using it's called a T-square, using rulers and this and that. They had to set the type by hand. All this is now automated computer, but they weren't invented, try to understand. So it was not so very easy to print such large numbers of books in such a short amount of time. But Prabhupada told the devotees, I want this Chaitanya Charitamrita produced within 3 months. The devotees freaked out. But Prabhupada, we can't do it. He said, no, you must do it. Very heavy about it. Apparently, there were other authors who were going to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita into English, and Prabhupada wanted to be the first to set the precedent and to get it out there properly as presented, Chaitanya Charitamrita as it is, without some sahaja twist or other kinds of rubbish that may have come into any other English translation that was produced. So if you had gone in those days to a professional printing house like Macmillan, you told them, we have an encyclopedia sized book we want produced in 3 months, they would say, can't do it. Professional printing house would have said, can't do it. Or just speak of devotees who were semi-amateurs, although they did the work quite competently. Of course, they made mistakes, but they were quite competent in how they produced the books at the BBT in those days without good technology. Any printing company would say, it can't be done. Can't be done. Because they didn't have the equipment now. Even now, if you told them we have an encyclopedia-sized transcripts we want printed, even now with so much technology, it's not clear whether they would commit to producing something the size of an encyclopedia in 3 months. Maybe they could with the modern technology, but it's not clear. But Prabhupada gave this very heavy order to his disciples, do it! I mean, you don't mess with an order like that. You know, you don't disobey when Prabhupada is in his Nisinga Guru mood, roaring like Lord Nisingadev, do it! You don't. You don't say, but Prabhupada, not when he's in that kind of mood. No way, forget it, you know. So they started working, but the only way they could even begin to meet this stringent, you know the word stringent, tight deadline, the only way they could begin to meet this tight deadline, virtually impossible, impossible by professionals, printers, so, and they're semi-amateurs, although they knew, had an idea what they were doing, they could produce, you know, professional quality books, but they were semi-amateurs, you know, they weren't commercial professionals. The only way they could produce the Chaitanya Charitamrita in 3 months and fulfill Srila Prabhupada's order was to work on it 24 hours a day. Arribao! That's what they did. Even the artists were painting paintings 24 hours a day on ships. There was no other way that they could get it done. So the transcriptions were being typeset according to this primitive technology and light boards they were using and all these things that aren't even necessary anymore. You know, and so miraculously, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, on the order of Prabhupada, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they succeeded in producing this encyclopedia-sized Chaitanya Charitamrita in only 3 months. Haribah! Srila Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Now, it's very significant that Srila Prabhupada did not print Adi Lila first. Adi means beginning, right? Govindam Adi Purusham, Krishna's original Supreme Personality of God. It's significant that Prabhupada did not begin with the printing of Adi Lila. And I don't think anyone here would guess why, so I'm not going to ask you to speculate. Adi Lila, has anyone here read the Adi Lila? Chaitanya Charitamrita. You senior men, you have not read. You haven't read Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita. You haven't read, not read, or you have read. You have read. How many years you've been devoting? Huh? I need a relay person. Come on.
From last 5 years.
Huh?
He's a devotee from last 5 years.
Loud.
He's a devotee from last 5 years and he's reading
Bhagavatam. Okay, 5 years reading the Bhagavatam. Who else is... you haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita? You've read or not read? Not read? How long have you been a devotee? Why are you looking at him? I'm asking you, how long have you been a devotee? No English? You're supposed to stay here. He's afraid the fire's too hot. Don't put your hand on your mouth. I'm not getting an answer. How many of you?
He does not understand.
What?
He does not understand.
Do you understand English? Not really. I asked a simple question, how many years have you been a devotee?
6 years.
6 years. You haven't read Chaitanya. I'm not even picking on the men in white. I'm only talking to saffron men now. How long have you been devotee?
4 years.
4 years. I'm not going to ask the yellow boys because they're mostly newcomers, supposedly. So you have to read it. I keep repeatedly in my classes proving that you're not reading properly and adequately in Prabhupada's books. Oh, I don't have time. Rubbish! Don't even try that one. Don't even try to say, oh, I haven't got time. How many hours in a day do you waste in prajapa? If you're honest, you will admit, I waste a lot of time in prajapa. Frivolous talks, doing unnecessary things, and you say you don't have time to read Prabhupada's books. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was the temple president when it came out. There were many devotees that were not 5-year devotees in my temple. They were busy. They weren't lazy. They weren't oversleeping. They weren't overeating. They were busy. They were doing devotional service. But you have to understand the mood. So this was 74 by the time it was fully released to all the temples. Because I became a temple president there in 1974. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so it took some time for them to get up to speed on pretty enough to release them to the temples around the world. So, when those books came in, when the shipment arrived, it was just like Srila Prabhupada personally arriving. Haribol! Because it was Srila Prabhupada personally arriving. You understand? Prabhupada's books are non-different. It was Prabhupada personally arriving. The enthusiasm level of the devotees, unlike modern devotees, the enthusiasm was off the charts. We began reading Chaitanya Charitamrita immediately. The ink wasn't even dry. Do you understand? Yes? Maybe? Blank? The ink wasn't even dry. We were devouring like a starving man, getting something to eat for the first time in months. In that mood, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Couldn't get enough of it. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotees had ruchi in those days. What happened to you? What happened to your ruchi? Don't tell me you don't have time. Don't even try. It's what you're doing with your time. Time management. It's what you're doing with your time. You should all make out a Microsoft Excel chart and mark down what you're doing from 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. You should make a chart and write down where's your time going, because you're not even aware where your time is going hardly. If you do that, if you make a Microsoft Excel chart of where your time is going, then you realize how much is getting wasted. You realize as you're writing down, you start to cheat more and more, trying to make it seem like you were doing all serious devotional service when you aren't. You know, cheating propensity will be exposed. So, we devoured it like starving people. We devoured it. Devoured means swallowed it, ate it, feasted on it, and the ink wasn't even dry. Not only that, but Prabhupada gave us the instruction to distribute it to the non-devotees. He didn't say, keep it on the bookshelves in the temple. We are instructed to distribute it immediately to the non-devotees, to the meat eaters, to the fornicators, to the wine drinkers. We distributed Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then do you understand how lame all the modern excuses are? Do you get that? Understand? So, this is a report card. Now, the thing about Adi Leela is the reason Prabhupada did not publish Adi Leela first is because the Adi Leela is very, what's called, cerebral. Cerebral is an English word. It means the front lobe of the brain, you know, the front lobe of the brain, the intellectual. Adi Leela subject matter is more technical, but important. Who is Advaitacharya? Whole chapter. Who is Advaitacharya? How he's expanded, how he is expansion of Mahavishnu. No, he actually not expansion, he is Mahavishnu. And so many expansions, Sankarshan expansions, and all the Chaturvyuha, and how the Chaturvyuha expands, all that's explained. And then a whole chapter on Nityananda Prabhu, which has some similarities because Nityananda Prabhu is the Baladev. And so how Baladev is Adi Guru and expansions are coming from him. All the Sankarshan expansions are coming from Baladev. Chaturvyuha. So all these technical information about the expansions of the Lord and other technical information. So what Prabhupada wanted was to cure the jaundice, just like you people that are not reading, have not approached Chaitanya Charitamrita after 5 years, jaundice condition. Do you understand? Jaundice is the disease. Makes your skin turn yellow. Yes. Disease condition. So Prabhupada knew that we were all in disease condition, that our ruchi was nothing to brag about, but he released Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he didn't release Adi Leela first, significantly, because he knew that the devotees might become discouraged if their first introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita was such heavy intellectual stuff for neophytes, perhaps difficult to digest, they might become discouraged. You understand? No, you don't understand. Intellectual, do you know what the word means? Highly intellectual, not just chota intellectual. Highly intellectual. Like I say, the English word is cerebral. Cerebral is the front lobe of the brain that handles intellectual things. Like university professors, scholars, and all that is said to be cerebral. Front lobe of the brain. So, it's intense philosophy. It's hardcore philosophy, you know. So, Prabhupada knew the devotees needed an injection of Gaura Leela. Therefore, he started with Madhya Leela and not with Adi Leela. I don't recall exactly how much later it was. A year or more later that he finally released Adi Leela, you know. By design, by intentionality. So the devotees could dive deep into Gaura Leela. Haribal. Nitago Haribal. Nitago Haribal. Nitago Haribal. And we did. we dive deep. Everybody was enjoying reading and discussing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and all their associates. Everybody was into it. Five years, haven't touched it. You need to own that. You need to look at it. You need to hold up the mirror and look in your heart and ask yourself, why? And when your mind tries to say, I didn't have the time, beat it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, beat your mind with a shoe in the morning and with a broom at night, or vice versa, you know. When your mind tries to say, but I didn't have time, it's a lie, it's fraud, it's not true. It's called time management, and furthermore, it's called jaundice condition, no taste, no ruchi. Be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself, and don't lie to others. That's avaishnava, against Vaishnava concept. So when you dive deep into Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll automatically become enlivened, you see, with the beauty and wonder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So these were these days in Mayapur. Decades before, Prabhupada had written essays based on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and over the past years, he had translated some of the verses and written purports to them. Then in America in 1968, he completed the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary study based on certain important passages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when I first became a devotee, and I took initiation in 1968. So there was no books hardly in those days. So when I took initiation then, teachings of Lord Chaitanya had just come out. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of course, is still in print. It's basically Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Ramananda Roy, and so forth. In other words, the most important core instructions of Mahaprabhu to his leading disciples. That's what teachings of Lord Chaitanya is. So Prabhupada released that in 1968. It was a new book when I took initiation. It was just had just been released. During his stay in Mayapur, however, he began a new translation and commentary of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, beginning with the 7th chapter. As he progressed, he found a wonderful momentum, and he said he would publish a volume starting with chapter 7 for Lord Chaitanya's appearance day in March. We're still in 1973. Deciding to complete the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, he suspended his work on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Suspended means he set it aside. That he became so enthused about. In one of the first verses of the 7th chapter, Krishna's Kaviraj states, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Shri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five, as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, in other words, panchatattva, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy." Prabhupada wrote that the only way for people to be elevated in love of Krishna in the age of Kali is by the mercy of the panchatattva, or Lord Chaitanya, in his form of five personalities. So we see from that how this concept that it's the only way to become Krishna conscious by taking shelter of the panchatattva led to the installation of the giant panchatattva in Mayapur, which was done by Prabhupada's order, as well as the giant Radha Madhava, deities that size, unheard of. You know, they were made that size on Prabhupada's order, you see. Prabhupada, of course, was a visionary. He saw what it would take to make the whole world Krishna conscious, And he saw what it would take to make Mayapur the international headquarters. So now, it used to be Los Angeles. Now Los Angeles is on the back burners in comparison. No offense. I don't know if this will be released, this tape will be released in Los Angeles or not. But it used to be the world headquarters. And now Mayapur has become truly the world headquarters. So we have to be very careful about standards, devotional standards. Everything is piped now through the net all over the world, you see. So we have to be exemplary in our behavior. This is our Hare Krishna movement. Look, see, and if they come to our temples to see something else, they'll say, well, I don't know, you know, it sounded great, but it seems like these people can't follow their own teaching. And there's some people already saying like that, for sure, because Krishna tests them. Some of them don't pass the test, you know. So try, we have to follow, that's all. We have to follow the teachings of Mahaprabhu through Prabhupada and try to set example. I mentioned before, mini acharya, small acharya. Then we can spread this movement very nicely. Any questions? Comments? Corrections? Okay, thank you very much. Jagaguru Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Granthala Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Nitya Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bolo.